who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast, current events edition as of October 27, 2023. How's it going, Ken?
Oh, it is going, Lynn. It is going. And I'm so happy to be here for this episode of our current events edition.
That's right. My name is Lynn and my co-host is Ken. And we are both former Disneyland Custodio cast members. And we host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland Custodio cast members.
Number one.
We are also authors of the books Queening the Kingdom. We have two volumes out, and they're separate content in each of them. And you can get both of them on our website, signed by both of us for a good price, I think, on our website, thesweepspot.com. And you can also get them if you don't care about the autographs. You can get them on Amazon. You can also find them where digital copies are found, like Kindle. And you can also get both of them on audiobook, like at Audible or wherever audiobooks are found. Also, if you want to join our Patreon and get some great perks out of it and help support the show, that would be great. We're not YouTube. We don't get paid by YouTube. We do this because we love it, but we also have expenses and things that we have to pay for. So we would love your support and help. And we have a lot of great Patreons that have already done so. And some of the perks you get is you get to join us in our current events once a month. We have all the Patreons that are at the level of $5 or more per month, and they're in the chat room and they're leaving comments, and I'll incorporate some of the comments into our discussion, and it's a lot of fun. So you can do that for $5 or more per month. And also you get, on top of that, you also get one bonus episode delivered to you that Ken and I specially record. So it's not like extra content from other episodes. It's its own episode. It's usually about 20 to 30 minutes. Some have gone over on certain topics surrounding Disneyland. And those are a lot of fun too. And you get that also. But if you don't care too much, or you don't have, you're not able to give $5 a month, that's totally fine. You can even give $1 a month. And it really does help us. Even $1 helps us go a long way. So we really appreciate it. So you can do that. You can sign up for us at patreon.com and search The Sweep Spot, or you can go to our website, thesweepspot.com, and look for the Patreon link. All right. I wanted to mention something before we get into our current events. So as you all know, I am a travel planner for Concierge, and we specialize in Disney vacations, also Universal, but mostly Disney. And we can book trips I can book trips to Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Alani, Adventures by Disney, and I think we can also do Disneyland Paris. So, you can contact me and we can talk. But I did want to mention that if we have a lot of perks by booking with us. You know, we don't have these amazing deals that we find. We do have good deals, but they're not specific. And so we try to find the best dates that fit, and there's prices vary on dates and all that fit you best for you. But also we have some great perks, like we can reserve dining for you. We can, reserve special events like Oogie Boogie or, some of the things that happen at the Disneyland Resort. We can also book a tour. We can, we get notified when you stay at a Disney Resort hotel. We get notified of promotions, and sometimes those happen after you already booked the trip, but we get notified and we adjust the prices for you. And sometimes we can save, hundreds of dollars sometimes by these promotions that happen sometimes after you book. And I did want to say that, some people say, oh, I got to save up for a trip, but we're booking all of 2024 right now. and you all you need is $200 down to save your spot. And you could pay payments. You can do it however you want. You can wait till 30 days before the trip and pay the whole rest off then. But some people like to just say, hey, Lynn, can you put $200 towards my trip, you know, every month or whatever it is? And that helps too, but to help you pay it off, you know, and gradually in time. But just wanted to let you know, 2024 is already booking. And if you have a trip in 2024 to one of the, you know, any of the Disney theme parks, cruises, anything, you can get that going now. Now the $200, that's just for, I think it's for the Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney World, I believe. But yeah, so also I wanted to mention when I said the dining, like that isn't something that we do separately. That's when you book a package with us, like tickets and a hotel. If you just book a hotel, say you're getting tickets some other way, I'll probably do it if you're booking a hotel, but I've had some listeners requesting to for me just to do dining, but it's just, that's a perk that I do when you book a package with us, because dining is just something that we don't get paid for doing, but we, you know, we offer that as something extra when you do book something with us. Now, if you want only dining and you, you know, have another way to stay somewhere else, I can do that. Just I probably ask for an addition, you know, for a price to do that, because it does take time out of my day to do that. So anyways, I just wanted to make a couple of things clear and hope that you contact me at lbaron@concierge.com or any of the social medias you can contact me. Anyways, that was way too long what I wanted to say, but I appreciate the patience. All right. Let's get right into the current events. But before we do that, we're going to have the D180.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our adventure this week in Walt Disney World, where Disney has released its offers for members of our military. I don't normally start on a promo, but this is a big one for our active and retired service members. Most nights from January 1st, 2024 through December 20th, also 2024, have big discounts for military members. These are discounts on park tickets, and they're pretty great. If you qualify, make sure you get in touch with one of our planners to learn all of the details. All right, on to Epcot. Moana's Journey of Water is now open, and by all accounts, it's delightful. This is a walk-through attraction with interactive water effects throughout. It's a lush landscape with plenty to see and play with. Lines seem to be pretty reasonable for a new attraction, too. Give it a look when you next visit. And hey, if you started your day in Epcot, you can hop on over to the Magic Kingdom any time of the day you want. Well, assuming you're visiting on or after January 9th, 2024. Walt Disney World is lifting its park hopping restrictions on the 9th. No longer will you have to wait until 2 p.m. to take that monorail or Skyliner between parks. Also coming back to the Walt Disney World Resort, no reservations. For regular ticket holders, no reservations will be required. Sorry, annual pass holders, you'll still have to hold out for now. But finally, also the return of a full dining plan. If you're a Disney foodie, here's your pathway to savings. I'm super excited for all of this. Disney is making it so much easier for a casual guest to go to the parks. But if you want an expert on the parks, I think I might know a few people you could call. Okay, well, what's next? Huh, I wonder if there's a chance they'll make some changes to the Genie Plus system. Okay, time to talk about the Disney treasure. I thought I was excited about a lounge themed after 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and another after the Jungle Cruise. I mean, I was actually excited, for real. Like, I did say a few of these ago that I would definitely spend the entire cruise in them. But now this, a Haunted Mansion bar? Holy smokes, Yep, Disney announced a bar themed after one of the best attractions ever crafted, the Haunted Mansion. Look for some of these non-alcoholic drink recipes on the Disney Parks blog if you want to get in the mood. You have to see the decor too. I might have to take an extra long cruise on this ship just to try all of these lounges for myself. Speaking of long cruises, the Disney Wonder officially set sail on its first voyage to Australia. These itineraries look incredible, so if you're in the mood for a few calm days at sea with another continent at the other end, give these trips a look. Disney Cruise Line has more Australian and New Zealand trips planned in 2024. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I am Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Ventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport. Any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do we have?
Well, Lynn, we have a few things. We finally know when the Adventureland Treehouse will be officially opened again. Yay, after all this time. Yeah. We have the Brady McDonald story from the Orange County Register. And as he reports, Disneyland will reopen the Adventureland Treehouse, inspired by Walt Disney's Swiss Family Robinson, on November 10th, after a refurbishment project that has stretched for more than 2 years. The new Adventureland Treehouse pays tribute to Disneyland's original Swiss Family Treehouse. A new Swiss Family Robinson television show is in the works for the Disney Plus streaming service. A family of five who possesses magical and unique gifts that help them survive life in the jungle will soon be moving into the Adventureland Treehouse once work is completed on their new home, according to the backstory created for the rethemed Disneyland attraction. Later on in the article, he says the original Swiss Family Treehouse, based on the 1960 Disney film, opened at Disneyland in 1962. The Adventureland attraction was rethemed in 1999 as Tarzan's Treehouse, based on the Disney animated film from the same year about a boy raised by apes. Tarzan's Treehouse closed in September 2021, meaning the two-year refurbishment project has taken twice as long as the year-long construction of Disneyland that was completed in 19, 55. So if you're not remembering what this is, it's located on the western end of Adventureland. It's between the Indiana Jones attraction and Pirates of the Caribbean. And it's a trek. You go up a bunch of steps to get all the way up there. So it's as if you're not doing enough walking in the park. You have that. What do you think about this, Lynn? What do you think? It's back.
I'm excited about this. I think that some of the pictures I've seen of it, you know, because they've taken down a lot of the tarps and coverings, and there's still a wall around at the bottom part, but you know, you have everyone there taking photos and video, and it has the water wheel. Remember, that was part of the original. And then it has the little, like, scoops up the water and takes it up to the top. And I always thought that that was such a neat thing to have, you know?
Yes.
And even as a kid, I remember that. And I remember how neat that was because, you know, kids like, you know, movement and mechanical things. And it's just so neat. Adults like that, too. But I'm just saying, as a kid, you're just, you know, like, wow, you know, and... So I'm excited that that's part of it. And I assume the music, you know, they have, I don't know if they've mentioned anything about the music, but I assume there'll be a tribute, or at least the music will be a part of it somewhere.
It would be a crime not to somehow have Swiss Polka in there.
Right.
So I would assume they're going to.
Yeah.
If not, that I mean, you can't, it's not like they would open up a whole new land at the park without music. Never mind. But yeah, the Swiss Polka is, you know, a big part of that, and they better have it. I'm glad. I mean, you know, they could have just ignored it. They could have just, you know, it could have been closed and they could have just let it sit there. Or they could have torn it out and, you know, had a shop there or something, vending carts or something like that. You know, it is a physical activity. I mean, people are walking around the park all day. But other than that, you know, it's, you know, there's the canoes you paddle on, and the treehouse you climb up. You know, you're using steps, of course, but it's kind of like the Haunted Mansion in the sense that every town had a haunted mansion, you know, a haunted house, some place that was haunted. And any good place, any good town has a few good treehouses.
Yeah,
and this is a really, really good treehouse. So I like that. I like, you know, not everything can be or should be Rise of the Resistance or Radiator Springs Racers or
Indiana
something like that. So it's these other in between spaces that help make Disneyland what it is.
Have you heard anything that they're gonna have? For people that can't climb the steps, if they're going to have like a place to watch a video of it or something like that.
I would think they would have something. You know, an alternate accommodation.
Yeah. Because, you know, the subs have that. And
otherwise what they might do is launch you on a catapult over the treehouse, and then you can
be exciting.
Then you get a nice view of it as you're sailing overhead for a few seconds.
slingshot up, parachute down.
They really could have. They could have made a dream suite up there. You know,
they should have put a slide. Like you go upstairs and then a big slide all the way down.
But they could have cut it off to the regular guests all together and just made a dream suite up there. And it's going to be open for everybody that gets inside the park. So I like that. Of course, the official Disney Parks blog covered this story. You can go there for all the official descriptions and images and stuff like that. Micechat.com is covering it. Dusty Sage did that. So, you know, as he says, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? We may never know because at Disneyland, there's always someone around. But all these stories, of course, as usual, are available at our official website, thesweepspot.com. And if you go there to the current events area, you can click through to get the full story, if you'd like, with all the imagery and videos and all that sort of thing for any of these stories. So, yeah.
November 10th.
November. Well, there's a lot going on November 10th.
That's
right?
What I said. November 10th. That's a big day, right?
That's the start of the holiday season. The official start of the holiday season at the park. That's going to be. So there's going to be a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Crowds will be.
Oh yeah.
The treehouse is going to be swarming with, you know, key holders at first, right?
I wonder how they're going to manage that, because they can't have. I mean, maybe they can, but they can't. I was going to say, can they have everyone up there? I mean, that many people up in the tree at that time, same time coming up.
Who knows? Maybe they'll have a little guest control there at first.
Yeah. Because there's going to be a lot of, what are they called? Like influencers, you know, like YouTube and podcasters and stuff there to document the opening and everything. And then plus all the pass holders that, you know, go, and then regular guests that come.
Yeah.
That just happen to be there that day. So, yeah, it'll be exciting. I'm excited to hear about it, and I'm excited to see it eventually. So,
All right.
We're moving on. So the next thing we have here is the Disneyland sets opening date for Pixar Place Hotel Makeover. And this is from Brady McDonald. It says, the Pixar Place Hotel transformation will be complete on January 30th with three new eateries opening at the refreshed hotel before the end of the year. The end of the year. Oh, so Paradise Pier Hotel has remained open during the transformation into the first Pixar-themed hotel in the United States. A Great Maple restaurant will open in November on the ground floor of the hotel with a menu that includes the restaurant's signature maple bacon donuts, along with fried chicken, ribs, fish, and breakfast items. The new Sketchpad Cafe in the hotel lobby will offer coffee, tea, baked goods, and other grab-and-go items. The new Bites pool bar next to the rooftop pool will serve salads, wraps, cheese plates, along with signature drinks. The new Story gift shop, like Wall-E, but Story. Oh, yeah. It says here, a play on Wall-E Pixar film, will sell Disneyland apparel, toys, souvenirs, and sundries. So that store, all these things had already been there. They're just like re-theming them. But that store was always... I always liked that one because it seemed like it was bigger than it needed to be for that hotel, but I like that, you know. It always had a lot of cool stuff in there. The Pixar storytelling will extend to the hotel rooms with Luxo ball pillows, Luxo Junior lamp lighting fixtures, and illustrations created by a Pixar artist just for the hotel. The hotel has been through a few facelifts over the years. The 1984 Pan Pacific Hotel was acquired by Disney in 1995, and they rechristened the Disneyland Pacific Hotel before being transformed into the Paradise Pier Hotel in 2000 as part of the debut of Disney California Adventure. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And something I was thinking about earlier today was that it's not like, because, you know, I book vacations for Concierge Plug. And you can book one too with me, but not just Disneyland. But anyways, so I was thinking about this. I thought, what if someone booked it, like, because they're saying they're opening January 30th. They've got to have some of the new rooms already open or pretty close to opening. So there's going to be guests in the newer rooms, like gradually, you know. They just can't do a whole makeover overnight. So yeah, there's probably a very good chance if you have a room... plan to stay there. I'm thinking sometime in December, between now and December, early January until January 30th, obviously, you'd probably be able to get a new room. So I don't know, it's not guaranteed, but I'm guessing that you'll have a good chance of it. But what do you think about this, Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It's been I don't think they included in the article, but it started out as the Emerald Hotel, you know, before it became the Pan Pacific and then Disney specific. But it's been through a lot of makeovers, as they said, and it sounds like something that might be exciting for, you know, especially for people who are big fans of those movies.
Yeah.
So need to see it in person, I guess. Just check it out. And
isn't it interesting though that they have a non-operating, you know, Disney restaurant in there? If you think of all the other hotels, I think all the other restaurants and all the other hotels are all, you know, cast members, you know, Disney owned. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's something.
Wonder why.
Good question.
Maybe it had to do with hiring or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the companies made a deal that Disney couldn't pass up, you know?
Yeah.
So
probably, but I've heard good things. I don't know anything about this maple, but Great Maple. But I've heard that they have other restaurants in the area, right? Like Southern California, I assume. I think there's one in LA or something. But I've heard good things. So we'll see.
Huh. Well, speaking of eateries, they're among the lodging at the resort. The official Disney Parks blog has this from Nicole Cantori. Disney Eats Foodie Guide to New Palm Breeze Bar, opening November 2nd at the Villas at the Disneyland Hotel. So, of course, you know, recently we've been covering that the Villas opened up, and it's not cordoned off. I mean, it's accessible to Disneyland Hotel guests, but the newest Disney Vacation Club Resort, the Villas at Disneyland Hotel, is now open at Disneyland Resort, and their brand new Palm Breeze Bar will be serving up tasty eats and sips for all guests staying at the Disneyland Hotel to enjoy, starting on November 2nd. This delightful outdoor venue will feature modern decor inspired by the imaginative artistry of Disney legend Mary Blair. As you enter this location, art inspired by some of the classic Walt Disney Animation Studios films and Disneyland Park itself will be all around you. So keep your eyes peeled while you dine. What they fail to mention is that Mary Blair had this little character that was a witch. So there was, they have, if you look over there, there's the Blair Witch Project. Never mind.
Whoa.
But if you click through to the story, they list all their menu items, and same thing with you know, Laughing Place covered it too, and they do the same thing. You can get a list of everything that's on the menu there, all the drinks and the food and all that sort of thing. So if you're interested, go to our website and click through. What do you think?
That's Lynn, exciting. Yeah, I'm going to be staying in this hotel soon, and I will have to go check this out.
You'll have to report back and tell us all about it.
Yeah, I'll do it for the podcast.
Yes, I'll have to pry it out of you.
No, that should be fun. I'm glad that they're adding more places to get drinks and eateries and things. It's always exciting, and they definitely need it. I mean, it seems like a lot of the places, especially at Disneyland Hotel, are, you know, you have Trader Sam's over there, always very popular. So this will be nice. All right. Moving on, we have an article from Brady McDonald. Candlelight Processional returns to Disneyland for the holidays. The annual candlelight ceremony with a 600-member choir that fills Disneyland with seasonal songs and draws thousands of holiday fans anxious to get into the Christmas spirit will return to Anaheim Theme Park during the first week in December. Invited guests will be able to enjoy the candlelight processional at Disneyland on December 2nd and 3rd at 5:30 and 7:45 each evening, according to Disneyland officials. While the candlelight processional can be viewed by Disneyland visitors, the park does very little to promote the event, which creates traffic problems near the front entrance. The Disneyland candlelight ceremony tradition began in 1958 as a way for Walt Disney to show his gratitude to the Orange County community that was home to his first theme park. Each year, the singers include Disney employees and members of local community choirs performing along with a live orchestra, handbell players, and fanfare trumpeters. A celebrity narrator, kept a surprise until the first show, tells the story of the first Christmas song between songs. Past narrators have included Cary Grant, John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, Gregory Peck, Charlton Heston, Henry Fonda, Dick Van Dyke, Chris Hemsworth, Viola Davis, Jennifer Goodwin, Jane Seymour, and James Earl Jones. Reserve seating is limited to a few hundred invited guests that include community members, civic leaders, media representatives, and VIPs. Have you ever seen this, Ken?
I have not specifically sat there through the whole thing.
No?
I've seen bits of it from working there, you know.
Right, right. But as a pass holder, you never went and stood there and watched it?
No, because I didn't want to like get there first thing in the morning and stake out a spot all day, you know.
Yeah.
This is not intended for the general guests, you know. You can see it if you're passing through, but it's intended for these VIPs and things like that. A lot of people come every year. And it's, you know, one, it's not like an Epcot Center, Epcot, it's no longer Epcot Center, but it's one weekend and it's very crowded in town square.
If it rains, they cancel. I mean, there's no like movement or anything.
Yeah,
I don't think it's happened too often, but I know it has. I stood there and watched it when I was annual pass holder. There's places to find if you can squeeze in there, but it's very hard to do. Probably now harder than it was when I'm talking about like mid-90s, you know. But it's really neat. And I think that, remember the one year that, I don't remember why, they must have been doing something to the train station. I think it was something to do with when they were changing the track. Remember when they shut the train down for like a year and they were redoing the whole track? Or it might have been more than a year. I think it was something around that time, but they tried it at the Fantasyland Theater.
I think they might have been trying to make it more like at Epcot. You know?
Oh, maybe that was the reasoning.
Maybe. I'm not sure what the whole reasoning was for that, but it didn't last, did it?
No, people didn't like it there. It didn't have the same feel.
Doing it in town square. It's kind of like, you know, Fantasmic being on the rivers, and as opposed to in its own stadium. I mean, you would think, oh, gee, if you build a location specifically for the show, it's going to be so much better. But the feel of it is totally different. So
outside, and because I thought they could easily do it at the theater in California Adventure and get a lot more people in there and do, you know, three shows or whatever they want to do. But it wouldn't have the same feel. And it's always been at Disneyland. It's been a tradition to do it in that square. So
I wonder.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I don't know.
I wonder how much media coverage there had been for most years until the Register started assigning people to the Disneyland beat, you know.
Oh, that's true. And they can't get... Like,
it probably wasn't mentioned a lot in news articles over the years, you know, because it wasn't something for the public, you know.
Right. It's really neat. If you're able to do it, and now I heard that a lot of people get there in the morning, stake out their spot, and, sit there. and wait all day until 5:30. But if you're able to, you don't have to do that to see it, from what I heard. In fact, if you even just showed up right before and just wanted to see part of it, they do the candlelight processional. You know, they go down main, down the parade route, in fact, all the way to Town Square, and where
that's
they,
once. That's once a night.
That's
right?
Once, yeah. Yeah, five, so probably around 5:15 or something, 5:20. I think so. I don't know if they do it the second one. I know they didn't used to.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
It might have changed things. I don't know.
I think they only had one showing back then too, per night. So I don't know. Is it fully dark at 5:30? So yeah, so you could do that, and then they mic everything, you know, so you can hear it all around the Main Street area pretty much. So
one of my favorite years was when Jim Varney did it as Ernest.
Oh, he did?
No,
oh.
I'm just...
Oh, I was going to say. Wow.
Yeah. So, you can imagine the James Earl Jones one, you know.
That would have been great, yeah. And then I wonder who they're going to have this year.
And then they said, Luke. And then according to the Gospel of Luke. No. anyway. all right.
Moving
well,
on.
Well, you know, let there be peace on earth. Earth, as they would say during the candlelight ceremony, but there's no peace in Fantasyland. Yes. Here's the Register reporting again, Brittany McDonald. Disneyland fight breaks out in Fantasyland with kids and strollers stuck in the middle. Yes. Kids were caught in the middle of a brawl at Disneyland as adults threw punches and delivered kicks while bumping into baby strollers during a fist fight in Fantasyland between the Monstro Whale and the Spinning Teacups. Wait a second here. During a fist fight in Fantasyland between the Monstro Whale and the Spinning Teacups. So Monstro got into a fight with the teacups? No, never mind. English is funny. A fight involving at least five adults broke out on Sunday, October 15th, in the land of the Anaheim theme park. Disneyland security responded quickly to the brief incident between guests in Fantasyland, and the party that initiated the incident was immediately removed from the park, according to Disneyland officials. No injuries were reported, and the Anaheim Police Department was notified, according to Disneyland officials, and no arrests were made, and the incident remains under investigation, according to the Anaheim Police Department spokesperson John McClintock. The fight quickly escalated on the sunny Sunday afternoon when two adults began throwing roundhouse punches, and others soon joined the fray between the Storybook Land canal boats and the Mad Tea Party rides in Fantasyland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These things wouldn't even have made the news back in the day, but now everyone's right. Got, you know, cameras with them. The last line of the story in the article says, the fights have become an increasingly regular occurrence at Disney theme parks and other amusement parks across the United States. I wonder if that's really true, if it's just they're, you know,
they're more reported.
More reported. Yeah. So what do you think, Lynn?
I don't know. Like you said, that they've, I don't know. When we worked there, I remember I called in a fight once over my radio about something in Small World line. I think someone was cutting, or I don't know, who knows what. But I remember doing that, and I remember hearing other things. So a lot of times it's domestic, you know, but this one doesn't appear to be that. I don't know. It's going to happen when you get that many people in one place and you spend that much money. You're trying to have a good time. Sometimes it's not working out the way you want it to.
They didn't use concierge, so they're, you know.
Right, so they're really pissed.
Yeah.
And so the more it, you know, it costs to get in, the more people have higher expectations and want their day to be more perfect, you know. And when it doesn't go that way, or someone makes them upset or says something, then it just doesn't work out well. But I don't know if it's, like you said, I don't know if it's more of an occurrence or if it's just reported more now because of social media and all that. I don't know. It's unfortunate it happens, but hopefully, I still think Disneyland is the safest theme parks. You know, Disney theme parks are safest to be in. So.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you've got tens of thousands of people there on it at any given moment. So yeah, statistically, yeah, it's, you know, and occasionally, I mean, there's going to be somebody who's just going to be aggressive and there's nothing you can do about it. But in most instances, you can, you know, you can kind of de-escalate the situation. If somebody's getting aggressive towards you, most, you know, you move out of the way, you know,
walk away. Yeah,
you might want to say, look, I want to stand my ground here. But, you know, if it's better in a situation like Disneyland, it's going to usually be better just to vacate the situation than to let it escalate.
Right.
You know,
or go to security if you're feeling threatened, but yeah. Or a cast member.
All right. Well, the Laughing Place also covered that story. So if you don't have access to the registry, you can go ahead and click through for that there. Yeah.
All right. Well, the next thing we have here is from Laughing Place. Disneyland Resort cast members celebrate Disney 100 with 23-hour event. From group cast photo meetups and special keepsakes to speed puzzling competitions and surprise magic backstage activations, there was excitement waiting around every corner for the people who make the magic for guests every day. At various backstage fun zones, cast members were invited to snap a photo at themed backdrops, grab a snack, and try their hand at dunking a leader in a dunk tank, including Disney ambassador Mark Everett King Jr. For every successful dunk, Disneyland Resort is making a donation to Make-A-Wish, Orange County, and the Inland Empire. Cast members were also invited to enjoy screenings of a special collection of Disney 100 content, including the new Once Upon a Studio short from the Walt Disney Animation Studios. By the way, speaking of that, that's a really good, I know, I don't think you have Disney Plus, maybe you do now, but the Once Upon a Studio is really good. It's a short they did. I think it's like 10-12 minutes long. I don't know if you heard about it, but they include a lot of characters going all the way back to Snow White and beyond. I think Oswald's in there too. So but it's really neat to see characters like interact with characters more recently, you know. Uh-huh. And then they have a little dedication to a little thing mention of Walt and Mickey, and it's really really touching. But yeah, it was very well done, I thought. Sounds like they spent a lot of time creating it. And so anyways, that, well, this is neat, you know. They've always done things for the cast members. I remember we had Cast Blast, you know, we had those events, and they're always including cast members in a lot of the things that are happening in the parks, but they would also have backstage celebrations as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's, you know, there's been changes over the years, and
yeah.
Yeah.
But they're still doing that, and that's really neat that they continue to do that as big as they are now, you know. All right.
Well, speaking of cast members, we're continuing to talk about them. There was an article that the Register kicked off with focusing on one cast member, but then they included a larger story about recognizing service anniversaries. So there's a headline here from Brady McDonald's story. It's, he climbed Disneyland's Matterhorn Mountain 300 times with Mickey and Goofy. During his 50-year career at Disneyland, Jimmy Payton was the first to climb Matterhorn Mountain with Mickey Mouse and scaled the man-made peak more than 300 times, including during the 50th anniversary of the park when he planted a flag at the top. Disneyland honored Payton and 8 other employees this week for more than 50 years of service, each with a ceremony in the Golden Horse. Excuse me. I put the emphasis incorrect on there. Like I said, English is hard. This week, the 8 other employees this week for more than 50 years of service each with a ceremony in the Golden Horseshoe restaurant and a cavalcade along Main Street, USA. Now, I want to, as an aside, they never did anything like that when I was there because you didn't have 50-year employees when, you know. Anyway, Payton became the first person to climb Disneyland's Matterhorn with Mickey Mouse and went on to scramble up the mountain hundreds of times as the manager of the park's 13-person climbing team in the 1980s and 90s. The Matterhorn climbers developed a few regular show routines traversed by Mickey and Goofy while also carving out more than 30 alternate routes of differing difficulties while practicing on the mountain. Payton's last trip up the top of the Matterhorn was also the highlight of his Disneyland career, planting a 50 flag on the peak for the 50th anniversary in 2005. There's a lot more to the story. There's a lot more about his background and stuff. But as it says here, Payton has had 50 jobs in his 50-year career at Disneyland. He's got no plans to retire just yet. He's still having fun at the summer job he got as a teenager.
Wow.
The best perk of all about working at Disneyland, Payton met his wife, Rihanna, a Disneyland custodian, 15 years ago while she was cleaning a parade float. They've lived happily ever after ever since. It's good. I have it on good authority that it's good to marry a custodian.
I think I know who that is. Okay.
A Disneyland custodian.
Yeah.
Disneyland's other 50-year honorees include security officer Enrique Lugo, Avengers Campus retail clerk Michael Botker. He's been there for 50 years before the campus arrived. Anyway, wow. Goofy's kitchen cook Alfredo Salas, security officer George Stecher, Main Street USA retail clerk Leanne Tubner, and wait for it, custodian Billy Morton.
Yay,
Billy, congratulations on 50 years.
Wow.
The 55-year honorees include staff shop lead George Montano and model mold shop lead Louis Montero. 55 years, can you believe it? Wow. What do you think about that, Lynn? We know Billy.
We do. Wow, that's crazy. 50 years. I didn't even know that Billy was that old. Oh, that's really neat, though. Yeah, I think I know the other custodian that was mentioned in the article. So anyways, just moving on here. Disneyland's, this is from KTLA. Disneyland's legal fight against Anaheim wage law nears conclusion. The lowest paid cast members at Disneyland could be getting a wage increase after the California Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal from Disney regarding whether an Anaheim wage law applied to certain employees at the theme park. At first reported by the Los Angeles Times, the state's 4th District Court of Appeal ordered raises and back pay for Disney employees known as cast members over the summer after a class action lawsuit was filed. In 2018, Anaheim voters passed a law requiring a $15 minimum wage for companies in Anaheim's resort area who enjoyed tax rebate agreements with the city. The measure, known as Measure L, was placed on a ballot thanks to a petition led by the Coalition of Disney Unions, the Times reported. ahead of the election, Disney asked the city to dissolve a 45-year gate tax shield and a $267 million bed tax break for luxury hotel product that never came to fruition, the Times reported. Anaheim's city attorney initially said that the law wouldn't apply to Disney since the agreements were canceled. However, a class action lawsuit filed on behalf of the cast members begged to differ. The lawsuit claimed that the company was violating the law by failing to pay its workers a living wage. Cast members determined to be impacted by Measure L will receive retroactive pay dating back to January 1st, 2019. However, it's unclear how many cast members will be affected by this ruling or how much money they will receive. What do you think, Ken?
Well, it's nice to get retroactive back pay, you know?
Not going too far back, though. I was hoping it was going to go back to, you know, 2005 or something.
That would be great. Well, it's interesting. 15, you know, I mean, yeah. The unions have moved on from that. Mm-hmm. You know, 15 is not, you know, now they used to say fight for 15, but they've left that behind because, you know, inflation and everything. But
right.
Disney will make it up by selling a few more churros and it'll be the end of it. You know,
it is. Yeah,
and of course, again, it's a class action, so the lawyers are going to get a chunk of it. Yeah, should have gone to law school. Well, anything else to say about it?
No, not really.
All right. Well, let's continue the cast member theme. Iconic Disneyland voices moving on. Celebrating the legacy of Bill Rogers and Camille Dixon. And this is a story at micechat.com from Samantha Davis Friedman. And, you know, I can kick it off by saying, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you know, yeah.
Yes, it should be you. It should be the next one.
There you go. That would be a dream job, but, so, as the article says, is there anything more exciting than hearing ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and more recently, hello, friends? While you're at Disneyland, everyone knows it means something magical is about to happen. For the last 32 and 11 years, respectively, the voices that share the happy news have belonged to Disneyland park announcer Bill Rogers and his wife, DCA park announcer Camille Dixon, but only for a little while longer because they're moving on to new exciting projects due to casting changes at the Disneyland Resort.
What does that mean?
I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate.
Okay.
I think they're bringing in, I think they're bringing in Jerry the King Lawler to be the... No, just kidding.
Whoa.
or they're bringing in JR, you know, they're bringing in the wrestling announcers to do it, you know, because with the fights going on, why not, you know? This reminds me, you know what this reminds me of is Wayne Allwine and Russi Taylor, the who were simultaneously the voices of Mickey and Minnie, and they were a married couple.
Oh yeah,
you know, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
So, the story goes on to say, as Bill and Camille head on to their next adventure, we thought this would be an excellent opportunity to learn more about them and their Disney history. So again, click through because it's quite extensive, and you can see pictures and video, and there's a lot more explanation about their history with the, you know, with Disney and elsewhere. And it says here, for about 10 years, Bill was the English speaking announcer for Tokyo Disneyland. And he's also been involved in Walt Disney World projects, including Fantasmic and the East Coast's Candlelight Processional. See, everything ties together here, Lynn. Yeah. In addition to Disney projects, Camille is the promo announcer for PBS SoCal in Los Angeles. Both Bill and Camille narrate pledge programs for PBS locally and nationally, and have recorded commercials for the Texas Rangers Radio Network. They're also working with Disney Editions on a book about voiceover at the Walt Disney Company, and it's currently in the research phase. Wow. You know, I still think of Jack Wagner, and I still think of Mark Dennis and all these other voices that, you know, the park has had over the years. So, I'm not kidding. That would be a dream job. If I could, if I could land that gig, I would, you know, that would be a dream come true. I could say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, well, of course, they changed the language. So now it's like, you know, friends or dreamers of all ages, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. Get out. You know, no. I'm sorry. Please get out.
Yeah, remember we used to joke around about that. About if they said, if Mickey Mouse said that. Yeah, that would be great, Ken. Let me see what I can do. See who I know and get you.
Yeah,
in
use
there.
Your use your connections to get me that gig, okay?
Okay.
I'm sure they'd make me quit being co-host of the Sweep Spot, but, you know, I or special guest star of the Sweep Spot. But
yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be worth it, though?
Yeah. Well, you know what might help you get in is just tell them, you know, I am the host of the Sweep Spot. I'm the voice, one of the voices of the Sweep Spot.
That's right.
So I go, oh, yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't knocked on my door already. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, they don't have your address here. Let me get it. Tell them.
secret undisclosed location.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's neat. They will be missed with that. But it's a, you know, I bet they'll be, their voices will be there. I mean, they won't be recording new stuff, but I'm sure their voices will be, you know, there for a long time.
Could be. The recordings. Especially if Disney captured it in AI. Maybe they can just use the computers to do it. That's the real reason they haven't contacted me.
Yeah, they're going to have you and I in the back in the park as an AI. All right, moving on here. This is from the OC Register. How much are Magic Key annual pass holders worth to Disneyland? Oh, you really want to know that answer? No. The $9.5 million Magic Key class action settlement offers a glimpse behind the curtain that Disneyland rarely shares with the public and provides a rough estimate of what annual pass holders are worth to the Anaheim theme park. Crunching the numbers, the Dream Key costs pass holders about $3.83 per day. An amazing bargain compared to the $104 to $194 visitors pay for daily admission. Well, that's if you went every day, right? Yeah. The $9.5 million settlement represents just under 7% of the $144.7 million Disneyland raked in from 103,435 Dream Key pass holders in 2021. Wow, that's a lot. The settlement offers the first official headcount of Magic Key annual pass holders, a number that Disneyland has carefully guarded for decades. What the settlement doesn't reveal is the full size of the annual pass holder army. Disneyland breaks the Magic Key passes into four tiers. The 1,649 Inspire Key, the $1,249 Belief Key, and the $849 Enchant Key, and the $499 Imagine Key. If the four Magic Key tiers were divided equally, Disneyland's annual take would be $439.2 million from 413,740 pass holders. Disneyland's yearly haul grows much larger if the Inspire key holders represent roughly 10% of 1 million pass holders, the long-held and widely accepted estimate. If the three lowest magic key tiers were divided equally, Disneyland's 1 million pass holders would drop $949.7 million annually into Disney's coffers. Annual pass holders comprise an estimated 50% of Disneyland's attendance, according to the UBS financial analyst. Wow, that's pretty high. Disneyland and DCA daily visitors pay an average of $149 per day to get into the parks. That's probably on the low side when you factor in the park hoppers, after hour events, and multi-day tickets. If 12.95 million daily visitors came to the parks in 2022, that works out to 1.9 billion walking through the front gates, with the slightly higher 14.3 million daily visitors in 2019. Disneyland's annual gate revenue jumps to 2.1 billion. Adding up the back of the napkin math, Disneyland brings in a staggering 2.3 billion to 3 billion annually from Magic Key pass holders and daily guests. Wow.
But I think that's just admission. You know? That's not right. That's not counting
comp tickets and things, right?
You know, parking.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Food, merchandise,
churros,
magic, or Genie Plus,
lightning lanes.
You know, buying lightning lane front of the line, you know, to bypass the line. I mean, that's just admission, right?
Wow.
So. Yep, it's quite lucrative, but it takes a lot to run the parks.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a lot to run the resorts, but, you know, they make money off of it for sure. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you realize if you go visit certain other parks, you realize non-Disney parks, you can get an idea of just how much Disney, you know, they try to staff things fully. Mm-hmm. To help people, you know, you've got the greeters at the various attractions, things like that, that you often don't see at some other places.
Oh, yeah.
So they spend money. Yeah.
All right. Well, with all this extra income, maybe they'll start working on Tomorrowland, right?
We can dream. We can dream our dreams for. Okay. Anyway. Disneyland has nearly twice as many expensive dates as cheap days after ticket price increase. And this is a more Brady McDonald analysis. Boy, they cover Disney like every day over there. Disneyland has nearly twice as many high-priced dates, 132, as low-priced days, 71, on the calendar through April. Two-thirds of the dates through April fall into the three most expensive tiers, with the remaining one-third of the dates in the four least expensive tiers, according to an analysis by News Nation reporter Scott Gustin. So far, there are 25 days on the Disneyland calendar at the cheapest $104 price point through April 2024, about 12% of the available dates. Disneyland's calendar only stretches through April at the moment, so the ticket price mix could change over the last 8 months of 2024. Consumers are facing funflation in all types of entertainment, from live concerts to sporting events to theme parks, according to CNBC. Disney told CNBC that theme park price increases are in line with inflation. Yes. Well, I would say if you're looking for the best deals, I would say, again, go with Lynn, with Concierge. You're going to spend money on a Disneyland vacation, but, you know, if you really, really want to go, if you say, look, I want to go, you know, Monday through Thursday sometime. You know, Lynn can tell you what the best times to go are and get you the most for your money. You're going to spend money, but get the most for your money. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, So, yeah, I'm going to continue, and I'll let you sit back and relax and enjoy the trip while I explain that we do have the usual updates from Mice Chat. There's an update from Andy Castro from October 16th called "The Party's Over." And here it says, "Happy Disney 100, or is it? The party may have been forgotten here in Anaheim, but don't worry, there's always a Disney history party happening at Disneyland. We dive into some of the park's storied history today, even though Disneyland started taking down the party decorations before the big day." How do you really feel about it, though, Andy? Meanwhile, ticket prices have gone up yet again. Some droids stopped by Galaxy's Edge, and the first signs of the holidays have appeared. Anyway, you can click through to read to see the whole day. I mean, you know, as always, those updates are really heavy on the photos, so you can get a good look at, you know, at the changes they're talking about. Dusty Sage had the October 23rd update. Pardon me. And it said, "Snowfall, pumpkins, and missed opportunities." And as he starts it out here, step with us into a world where holidays collide and Disneyland's seasons dance side by side. Snow has fallen on Sleeping Beauty Castle, while pumpkins hold court on Main Street, USA. So, yeah, go ahead and click through to see that. I'm wondering, are there any refurb updates, Lynn?
Oh, believe it or not, you would think this time of year there would, you know, everything would be almost fully up and running. That's not the case. So let's start off. So we have It's a Small World. You know, we've reported that that's down to change over to the Small World Holiday. And that will reopen on November 10th, along with everything else, seems like. The Centennial Park up in Toontown returns this Monday, the 30th. But Goofy's How to Play Yard goes down until November 10th. So that's, what, a week, 2 weeks? So Mark Twain Riverboat is still down and no return date as far as the calendar goes out. Redwood Creek Challenge Trail is down, and that will return November 10th. That goes down. I wanted to say that goes down on the 1st of November. So, it's been down as Redwood Creek. It's been for the Oogie Boogie Party. They've been using that. So, anyways, this one's interesting. Astro Orbiter down November 27th and no return date. Indiana Jones Adventures down November 27th and it's reopening on December 1st, so about a week on that one. That's interesting because it just had that long closure, you know. So they have another week here. They must have to do something that they need before the holidays, or before things really kick in for the holidays. And Credicoaster is down November 27th and will return on the 2nd. So just a few days for that one. But that's all I have, Ken.
All right. I'm glad we're caught up. We do these current events episodes every 2 weeks generally. The other weeks we have our main topic episodes, you know, to go into history, or we interview a cast member who's, you know, retired or has moved on from the resort, and or authors. I mean, you know, we like to cover everything, the past and the present, and discuss the future as well. So if you haven't done so already, do follow and subscribe to us wherever you can, you know, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. That way you don't miss an episode. You stay up to date on everything that's happening, and you hear history of Disneyland that you might not have heard before. So, and spread the word and tell people we're here. bookmark our website, go visit that. There's lots of good stuff there. And yeah.
Well, that was a lot of news, but there always is things going on at Disneyland. Well, thanks for listening.